Take care. Not a day goes by that you don't hear something about the presidential campaign or the candidates. Such is the nature of an election year in America. The attention ranges from daily news stories to more reflective looks at the candidates. Today's guest resides in that second category. Joanne Bamberger is the editor of a book of essays on Hillary Clinton called Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. Joanne Bamberger is an independent journalist and political and media strategist. Her work is published and her commentary is featured on the likes of The Washington Post, CNN, Fox News, and more. Joanne wrote an earlier book about how women in social media are changing politics in America. Joanne was named a 40 over 40 disruptor in 2014. Joanne Bamberger, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So a 40 over 40 disruptor, this sounds like a mixed blessing. What is it?
that is true. I mean, I suppose, you know, we're in the over 40. Is that the new over 20? I don't know. But I think that the women who created that sought to really create lists that acknowledge that women are still doing important things and varied things even over the age of 40. I think to sort of address some of the lists we see, 20 over 20 and 30 over 30, that I guess we're not really ready to be put out to pasture just yet.
Good to hear. What got the Hillary Project started?
You know, it's something that I've thought about for a long time since the 2008 election. Since then, there have been just so many articles and things on, you know, mainstream media, radio, cable television, talking about whether we liked Hillary or not, and whether that was something that was actually something to be considered as a qualification for whatever job she had, whether it was senator, secretary of state, or even when she ran for president. And the more I thought about it and the more articles I saw, I thought there was really little to explain that. People would say, well, I don't like her, I find her unlikable, but there was very little to back that up, even though people had very strong feelings about it. And it was something that I wanted to explore, and as I was working on some research, I realized that I was really going to have to do it through the voices of many very diverse women to find out what their feelings were and how they felt about Hillary Clinton. And that's how it came about. So I started looking at women online, seeing what they were saying, and reaching out to various women writers, both established and some emerging, to see what their thoughts were on Hillary Clinton.
Why only women writers?
Well, I decided to do only women writers because one thing that is sort of a pet project versus pet peeve of mine is the fact that there's so little women commentary, both on, you know, online, on TV, on radio, in mainstream newspapers. And I wanted to be able to highlight the voices and writing of women to bring that to the forefront.
Yeah, I notice you have the likes of Froma Harrapin here, among many others, but a lot of significant voices in this book.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure that, you know, as I reached out to a lot of these women, that they were very interested and excited to be able to do that.
So does the book come with a particular overall viewpoint on Hillary Clinton? It's certainly not a slash piece or anything like that.
No, you know, the funny thing is that when I started this project, I really thought that it would be easily divided into three segments, that there would be the writers who loved her, the writers who loved her not, and that there would be some in the middle. And the thing that surprised me most in terms of the views in this book is that almost all of them are very nuanced. You know, there obviously are essays in the book where people are very big Hillary fans and some who can acknowledge what she's done in terms of advancing women's leadership but would never consider voting for her. But for the most part, people would say, well, I'm not crazy about this, but that, or I like this about her, but then I have to look at this other thing. And so many more people came out on the fence, and that just really surprised me.
You know, when I think about it, I was just remembering this morning, this very morning in the paper that Froma Harrop had a column about some advice for Hillary Clinton. It seems like there's always this sort of personal advice for Hillary coming from so many quarters, and it gets back to the whole issue that you brought up earlier about whether Hillary's likable or not. I cannot remember any other presidential candidate who ever got asked in a debate, "Are you likable enough?"
No, and that really, you know, was from what I could tell from my research, that was really the moment that, you know, her 2008 campaign really started to go downhill. Although, you know, President Obama was not particularly likable in that moment when he made that comment, yet we never hold that against men.
The comment about you're likable enough.
You're likable enough, Hillary. And that actually goes to some research, which I write about in the introduction, that there have been several studies looking at this, that for women voters, women candidates have to be likable in order to be seen as qualified, whereas they don't require that of men. Enables to see them as qualified and be able to vote for them, which was another thing that, you know, really I felt was an important thing to explore. I feel like the essays in this book sort of put the meat on the bones of that research. It's like, all right, if you're going to say you need this woman to be likable, what does that mean to you? And sadly, I think for her, it means something different to every woman voter.
Is there any other political, mainstream political figure who evokes such polarity of feelings? It doesn't seem like there is much middle ground in Hillary, but it's a divided time, too.
It is, and that's, I find that interesting. It was a question that I'm not sure what the answer is, whether this is a Hillary Clinton issue, or is this a women in politics issue, or is this more specifically an issue for any woman who decides to run for president? Because we really don't see this sort of discussion around any other high-profile national figures. I mean, no one has ever asked whether the wonderful Barbara Mikulski is likable or not. She just gets her job done. So it's really interesting to explore whether this is going to impact all women or if it's just about Hillary.
Well, and it's interesting to think in other periods of history, too. Nobody ever asked if Richard Nixon was likable.
No.
They did not. Yeah, a different period, though. We're talking about Hillary Clinton, the book on her with it's a bunch of essays brought together by Joanne Bamberger as editor. It's called Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. Welcome back and talk more about the items in the book, and you can join the discussion as we talk about Hillary and do you love her, do you love her not? Join us on The Exchange with your phone calls and emails back here in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Joanne Bamberger. She's the editor and one of the contributing writers in a book of essays about Hillary Clinton and the polarizing feelings about her. The book is called Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. You can put your own two cents worth in on Hillary Clinton and your particular feelings about her, or your observations about the way other people express their feelings about her. 800-838-3760 is the phone number to join the conversation. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. So, Joanne, when I think about who's going to buy the book, I guess it's going to be more the love hers than the love her nots.
I think that's probably right, although I really wish that the love her nots would think about it to really explore what is it about her that they don't love or that they hate. We've waited so long to see, as everyone says, a viable woman presidential candidate. And so many times when people talk about their feelings about Hillary Clinton, they'll say, well, I don't like her. I don't think she's trustworthy. I don't think she's, you know, fill in the blank, whatever your problem is with her. Yet when I talk with people about that and say, well, tell me why. Why is it that you feel that way? Many people don't have a follow-up response. So I would love it if people, regardless of what they think about Hillary, would take a look at the book to not only think about her, but also how we look at all women candidates and women leaders.
I've had some of the same conversations myself and come back in particular to one I asked a long time ago, I think early in her Senate career. And I said, so what, I mean, honestly, I want to know, what is it you don't like about Hillary Clinton? And it's like, well, I just didn't like the way that she like made herself a resident of New York so she could run for the Senate. I wasn't sure why they cared that much.
I think it's also a question about women and the ambition.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're a society that still has a problem with that. You know, we're clearly in, you know, the 21st century much further along that path than we were, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. But I think we still have a question about that, and we ask those types of questions about Hillary and other women that we would not ask or raise about men. I mean, there are some opinions in the book that talk about they feel that Hillary is just too ambitious. And when have we ever said that about a man in any position of power?
So, well, exactly. The second paragraph of your introduction uses the words nagging, conniving, controlling, used of Hillary. I've never heard those things said about male candidates.
Never. No, it really plays to the issue that we also have with how we treat women and gender issues in the country, that even women reporters, women talking heads on cable news shows sometimes default to those. There was an article in the New York Times earlier this week talking about the Gloria Steinem and Madeleine Albright comments, and now I'm trying to think of the word they used, but...
About the girls are following the boy, or the young women are following the boy. They're where the boys are, or something like that.
Right, and there was a lot of language in that article that, you know, really would not have been used, you know, if some man had been making those comments. I'm not defending the comments that Gloria Steinem or Madeleine Albright made. But we still talk about women in that way.
I also think about the fact that Hillary Clinton's been a useful vessel for a lot of feelings, positive and negative. I mean, Rush Limbaugh really reached the zenith of his career in the mid-90s by bashing Hillary more than, at least as much as Bill. And within 2 years, Fox News had shown up on the scene to pretty much occupy the same space psychically, I think, that Rush Limbaugh had occupied.
Yeah, Hillary bashing is good business. It you know, gets a lot of advertisers. People have such extreme feelings and such powerful feelings about her as someone who is a leader or is a powerful woman, and I think that drives a lot of advertising. You know, one of the essays in the book by one of the conservative women basically addresses the issue of, I would have no career if it weren't for Hillary Clinton, because she has built a career being a conservative writer, because they're just so obsessed with writing about her.
Now, you found four basic camps of feeling about Hillary Clinton. What are they?
So there's the love her camp, the love her not camp, and then the people who love to hate her and the people who hate to love her. And I think those are often reflected, all four of those things can be reflected in some of the essays.
All right. Did you find any space between them, really? I mean, anybody who just... Is this ever a Venn diagram where people can be part of more than one subset?
Yeah, absolutely. There's one of the essays, which, you know, at the time that it was written, Elizabeth Warren was still sort of in the mix as a potential candidate. And the woman who wrote that essay talked about how she was going back and forth between Hillary and Elizabeth Warren, and sort of how her feelings about President Obama, sort of how they all intersect, and how she sort of could find herself moving back and forth. She didn't use the term Venn diagram, but that's a great example or a great sort of descriptor, because she found herself moving around at various points in time, at different points in that type of Venn diagram.
Have you been able to separate through any of these essays Hillary in terms of what she is versus who she is? Which one of those makes her a target? Is it because of her particular personality, or is it because of the fact that she generally came to our attention as Bill Clinton's wife, and therefore was in the White House with him for 8 years, and through all that the Clinton White House went through, then a senator and so forth?
Right. What I really found about that is that is very much a generational issue. That for women who are of the baby boom and some Gen X generation women, there are still things that they can't divorce from their feelings about Hillary in terms of how they knew her, that they knew her first as a first lady and someone who, if you will, didn't know her place as a first lady. And many who still hold it against her for having not left her husband over the Monica Lewinsky scandal. And I found that fascinating, that there are still some women and writers who, even though they can acknowledge that she is extremely qualified and they might agree with her on certain policy positions and that they liked her as Secretary of State, that because they knew her in those roles, they have a very difficult time seeing her as President of the United States.
Do you find, for example, people who will say, you know, what Bill Clinton did with Monica was his own business? In other words, they'll rule it out of a discussion about his qualifications as a candidate, but they will include Hillary's not doing anything to Bill about that as part of what qualifies or disqualifies her as a president?
For those people, I think they still would, at that time, held it against Bill Clinton. But I think it's fascinating that we have come to a place in time where many people look at him as this wonderful global statesman with his, you know, Clinton Global Institute, and that people have come to a place where they admire Monica Lewinsky as she has come out in her anti-bullying campaign, yet as women look at Hillary and say, I would never have made that decision, so I can't respect her because she didn't make the same decision I would have made. And I find that fascinating because there are a whole lot more sex scandals that address men, and we forgive them and elect them to other offices, yet Hillary, and I hate to use the term victim, but the person who was not at fault in that situation still finds herself having that held against her. And I don't know how we get past that in terms of how we view women and women leaders.
In fact, in your introduction, you mentioned that her bigger obstacle in winning is with women voters than with men.
It does seem to be that way. I mean, there's plenty of polling about whether she's going to be able to get the vote of men. And up until, I think, very recently, she did poll better with women. We're seeing a lot of various issues with the polling right now. But I think the issue with women and how they view Hillary Clinton is that we view her through the lens of our own lives as women. We certainly don't do that with men. And so for better or worse, I think worse, we look at her and say, well, I would not have done that, or I would not have made that decision. And those decisions are different when you talk to different people. There will be different questions, different answers. And how can we truly consider her as a candidate if we are going to view her through that lens, what I talk about as a lens of perfection? That if we want her to be perfect in terms of how we view our lives, how can she win?
Which raises the question whether it's, you know, for a woman in particular, Hillary is just standing that much closer to me because I can relate a little more to what she's done. Therefore, I can judge her a little more harshly.
I think that's right. We, as women, sadly, I think we live in a time where we feel it's okay to judge, and so much of our media and entertainment sort of has that underlying factor. We have, you know, so many magazines and books and movies and TV programs where that's the underlying theme. How do we judge each other? How do we improve upon ourselves? Are we trying to reinvent ourselves? And there's so many of those sort of social issues that trying to project them all onto Hillary Clinton makes it very difficult to see her as more objectively as a candidate. And we don't have that in terms of women voters. Obviously, we're not judging men in that way. We don't look at them through that same lens.
Hillary Clinton's our topic of discussion through the vehicle of the book Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox, a book of essays by a number of women authors. Joanne Bamberger is the editor and our guest on The Exchange. And you can join us at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Kevin in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you.
And that's an interesting subject, and the presentation of the book is suspiciously interesting as well. One of the remarks that your guest made was that Hillary didn't know her place, and that's why feminists are so insulted by that perceived male attitude. And this, to me, is, I find, very offensive and insulting to my intelligence. I think any thinking man or woman would look at what Hillary and her husband did as a sort of a violation of public trust.
Which part of it?
Well, when you let your wife have tremendous power to affect the structure of our government, that's part of the public trust. That's not just, joining a politically active group somewhere to do this or that. She's actually involved in the structural nature of our government and affecting tremendous change that she really didn't get a vote to do.
But any president gets to pick advisors. I mean, much has been said about Obama and the so-called czars that he put in place. The right wing objected to that. I mean, he gets to pick advisors. Is it a problem if he picks his wife?
Well, I think she's a lot more than an advisor. I mean, let's not play softball here. Come on. She's doing a program that's one of the biggest things that's ever been done in American government, and I think probably will go down in history with Obama as making him as the significant president. This is a big deal.
We're talking health care.
I wouldn't kind of bring it down like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge. Give her tremendous power. She's working with her. She's a lot more than an advisor. I can't believe you said that.
All right. Anyway,
it would have been nice if, I mean, the way the book defines the thing is lovers, likers, and in the middle. I don't know what that middle is. I would think you would say lovers, likers, and don't likers, or something like that.
All right, let's get a response. Kevin, thanks.
I think in some ways the caller says he's offended by saying she didn't know her place, but in his criticism, which many people would say is fair criticism of Hillary Clinton when she was first lady and working on health care, was that's not her role and she didn't know her place. I think that's where that comes from. I'm not talking about today. We're talking about, you know, when we first knew her on the stage. And I think one of the factors involved in that is we first knew her as First Lady of Arkansas. So we saw her as First Lady, even though she was already accomplished professionally in her own right. And she has become something of a real transitional figure, trying to go from someone that we knew in a very traditional role to a completely different, ambitious, powerful role. So that was really the point I was trying to make in a shorthand way by saying that.
All right, let's take another call from Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question of the author and then make a few comments.
Go ahead.
The question is, do you consider yourself a strong supporter of Hillary Clinton's presidency or her candidacy?
Well, for the purposes of the book, I don't think that really matters, because I was trying to get at everything, you know, all the different views. Yes, I do support Hillary Clinton. I did in 2008. I do now. But I really didn't want that to color the theme of the book, and I actually wanted to make sure that I could find as many diverse opinions and women of diverse backgrounds to really examine, you know, what they thought.
Yeah, it by no means gushes, Sandy. Let me make that clear. So what's your question?
Okay, thank you. So, it's comments I want to make. Leaving aside all the right-wing nonsense about Hillary, which none of it holds water, I believe she's earned a great deal of the criticism from more thoughtful people about her influence and her role in government in the various positions that she's held. For example, her vote on the Iraq War has to be, I was astonished that she did that, but on reflection, I'm of the opinion that she probably did that to prove to make her bones with the big boys, okay? To show us she could be as tough as any guy. I've worked in various professions, including medical professions, under very strong female leaders and doctors, and I was always dismayed that they had to, I did not hold it against them, but it was sad to me that they had to be 10 times as macho as the next nearest guy doctor in order to get to the positions they were. And I think Hillary kind of represents the last holdout of that kind of model. I am a total supporter of more women. I believe we should have probably 60 to 70% of positions of power in government and in corporations. Any positions of power in this country should be manned by women. But I'm very clear that they need not be women who are like Madeleine Albright or Lady Thatcher.
Okay, let's get a comment back from Joanne here. Thanks for the call, Sandy. Appreciate that. So it sounds like it's really, really hard to separate Hillary Clinton from woman running for president.
It is. It's really hard to, you know, separate that out and say, you know, what are we looking for in a woman president versus do we see that in Hillary? I love your caller's comment, and I've never heard that from anyone before, and I like that he would like to see 60 or 70% women in positions of power running different things. But I think it's important when, like he brought up the Iraq War vote and what was she trying to accomplish with that and being criticized for that, that it's important to also acknowledge the men who we don't criticize for that vote, whether you view it as a right decision or a wrong decision, as we're going to critique Hillary Clinton on that. I, you know, just as a devil's advocate, like to then say, well, do we view men who voted for the Iraq War or whatever else in the same way that we view Hillary Clinton and hold it against her. And I think that's a fair discussion to have.
The tougher than guys thing, I've heard that before from people in other professions where the women, particularly the pioneers who got into the profession before any other women, had to be that much tougher than the men around them. Is that part of what is the Hillary essence, you think?
Well, I'm not sure. We had that discussion in 2008, and there's been a lot of analysis since then about whether her advisors were correct in telling her, okay, don't run as the woman candidate, run as the strong candidate. And we see her perhaps stepping back from that a little bit this time. But there is the issue that we have not had an example yet of a woman commander-in-chief, of a woman in that powerful role. And I think until we have that first one, we will keep revisiting this question of, is the woman tough enough to be able to handle that kind of role?
Much more to talk about with Joanne Bamberger. The book she has edited with the help of a whole bunch of essay writers is called Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. We'll come back and talk more about Hillary Clinton and take more of your phone calls and emails when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Joanne Bamberger, independent journalist and political and media strategist. She's the editor of a book of essays about Hillary Clinton and the polarizing feelings that Americans have about her. The book is called Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. Joanne's not only the editor, but also one of the contributing authors. You can join us on the exchange, and several people have already. 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's another call from Misha in Eugene. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning. Yeah, I got a couple of comments about this. I kind of felt that, in 2008, that when Hillary ran for president, that after she lost, as people probably were, after she lost the Iowa caucus, that she teared up. But to me, it was disingenuous because after that, she attacked. She kind of said things that were mean-spirited about Barack Obama, and her husband was really mean, said things that were maybe kind of, I'm not saying the race card, but kind of like that. And I thought it was disingenuous that she wasn't, that she would do anything to. There was a book I was reading, Tender Power. I don't think she has the capacity to be the way. Like, for example, when she had a debate against Sanders a couple months ago, what she did is she was lecturing him. He's talking about socialism. And rather than saying, well, they have a difference of opinion, she made it seem like he didn't know anything, and he had a difference of opinion. And she had been on the board of Walmart, and I don't know what she did exactly there, but as people were probably aware, the Walmart wasn't treating women very nice. I had voted for a woman for president before, and like in another party there's lots of other people that I think that are more tender, but. And I don't feel that she's that way. I feel like she'll do anything to win the, do anything.
So she's like a lot of other politicians to you.
Yeah, like an example, like to vote to go to war. Mm-hmm. I mean, women and children can get hurt in that situation, but there's other people that are around that I think are more tender. There is a woman that was running for county commissioner here in Springfield in Lane County, and she was very, very nice. So I think it has a lot to do with her, the way she comes across and so on.
Okay, thanks for that, Misha. Appreciate that. Any thoughts and reflections on that, Joanne?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think that comment illustrates the obstacles that many women have to overcome, not just Hillary Clinton, but in terms of how women are perceived and how powerful women are perceived, and whether the voters who may vote for them have different expectations for them as women versus men. I don't think I've never heard anyone say that I would expect a man to be tender or nice in a debate or decision-making process. And again, the sort of the term that the caller used, that Hillary was lecturing Bernie. You know, I certainly watched the debate last night, as I'm sure many of your listeners did as well. And I think if you're going to use those terms, you can use them against the male candidates as well. So I think that's something that, sadly, any woman candidate still has to deal with, these, you know, varying gender expectations about what people feel is appropriate or not appropriate in a powerful woman.
You know, I wonder if simply it gets down to that women are expected to cover a broader range. You know, and I think about this, honestly, in conjunction with wardrobe as well as range of emotions. I mean, a guy gets out of bed in the morning and he's running for office. He knows he puts on a white shirt and a tie and a suit. And a woman has a closet full of choices and also has to display more emotions, clearly.
Right. And sadly, that's something that still gets talked about. And you would, I would love to think in the year 2016 we weren't even having that conversation anymore. But one of my favorite, and all, of course, I've got 28 contributors and I love all of their essays, but there is a pantsuit essay
Deb Rocks,
which I hope people will not dismiss. And it really addresses in that way sort of how Hillary and I think many other women politicians now have taken that, tried to take that out off the table as a piece of discussion and saying, I'm going to go with a pantsuit or whatever and just, you know, have one color and try to take all of that off the table. As much as women try, we still are talking about it.
I like that part of Deb Rocks' essay where she talks about wanting to frolic in Hillary's closet.
That I can end that. And I know Deb personally, and it's a wonderful visual trying to think of her in there. But the important points she makes in the essay are that, you know, yet again, it's a very gendered thing, as you pointed out. You know, you guys, you know, roll out of bed, and you've got a white shirt and a tie and a dark suit, and that's it. And, you know, how does a woman address these issues in a way that doesn't minimize her leadership?
Right. Let's take another call from Peggy in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. The book is Love Her, Love Her Not. Joanne Bamberger's the editor. Whoops, somebody's listening on the radio, and that cost you 10 seconds. So let's go to Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Good morning, Joyce.
Well, it's Joanne.
As regards to what to wear, what difference does it make? It doesn't matter if you're trying to run the country of the major superpower of the land, Joyce. So,
okay, you just called her by the wrong name twice, Jamie. For that, I'm going to send you off the air. Mike in Medford writes, although I completely agree with gender bias, Hillary is no Elizabeth Warren. How can she talk about black lives when she received campaign money from private prisons? How can you help the poor when you receive money from banks that make profits off the middle class, such as high interest rates, mortgages, and trade agreements? She's flipped on more issues than I can imagine. Health care, gay marriage, oil infrastructure. Her record in war is no different than George W. Bush. That's scary. She plays a game in a corrupt system and takes no shame in that, just like the bulk of politicians. That, again, from Mike in Medford. So, you know, that's something I think we heard bits of from other people. It's like, you know, Hillary goes both ways. She votes, you know, what she thinks will be good for the moment. So in that respect, it sounds like some people are just making it clear that they just dislike what she does because it's like any other politician.
I wonder if that's true. I mean, it is like so many other politicians. I know that people criticize her for that and how can you be for the poor, but you've taken money from, you know, corporations and Wall Street. President Obama has done the same thing. I think that's an overstatement, but so many politicians do the same thing. I'm not saying it's right, and it would be great to live in a world where you have someone who's running for whatever office, and they, you know, vote a certain way and have, you know, they're consistent in it. Now, some people say that's why they favor Bernie Sanders, but if you peel back part of that onion, you know, he has some of those same issues. So I think it's part of the process, not one that I think is a great one, but it's one that I think we should talk about, but not just hold against Hillary, hold against any politician who does that.
For that matter, Grumpy John in Grants Pass also writes, it's not about women, it's about Hillary. Consider, if it had been Elizabeth Warren who was running, we wouldn't be having this discussion at all. I believe Elizabeth would not be harping on vote for me because I'm a woman. Does Hillary ever actually say anything along those lines? I mean, other people will say, as Madeleine Albright did this week infamously, that women should vote for Hillary.
Right. I don't think that Hillary has ever said, vote for me because I'm a woman. I know that for sure Hillary Clinton has switched her focus in this campaign from 2008 to feel free to talk about issues that often we lump in the term women's issues, equal pay for equal work, paid family leave, child care. And the research has shown since 2008, when they sort of took apart the campaign and, you know, sort of what was her downfall, that people wanted her to embrace that aspect of it, to not totally ignore the fact of her gender. And for better or worse, we're going to vote on gender. That's just one of the things we take into account among many other things. And I think it's not entirely fair to say that this would not be happening with Elizabeth Warren, because I do believe that no matter what woman would be running for president, she would be getting taken apart by her opposition, maybe not as vehemently as with Hillary, because we've had a longer relationship with her and a complicated one, but I don't think it's fair to say that we wouldn't be seeing this with Elizabeth Warren or another candidate.
Which raises the question whether we have any sense from polling or anything else, whether there is a slice of the electorate that either automatically rule her in because she's a woman or out because she's a woman.
I'm not sure if there has been polling on that. I know that there have been many articles, for better or worse, and I hope your listeners will excuse this expression, but it gets used quite a lot, is whether there are quote-unquote vagina voters and whether there are people who will vote for her or against her just because she's a woman. That would surprise me. For me personally, I want to vote for a woman president who is qualified. I think it's important to see a woman finally in the White House. I personally, since I'm a Democrat, I probably would not vote for a Republican woman, and I'm sure that's for many people the same on the flip side. So I think it's much more nuanced than that. For people who want to see a woman president, they want to see a qualified woman president, however they define that for themselves.
Let's take another call from George in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Joanne Bamberger.
Thank you very much, and it sounds like a fascinating book. The thing that I find interesting is that the Nixon-Ford administration was the very last one that was totally castigated by the media, and since then the media has been bought up entirely by Alec and the rest of the conservative class, and they've never, ever given Hillary or her husband any kind of slack at all, to the point where no matter what they did, they were, basically they impeached Bill and certainly would do the same thing to Hillary if they had anything. She survived 11 hours of questioning, and I don't know of another Republican that's been subjected to that kind of scrutiny and rancor.
Well, and as you could argue as well, the creation of the committee for the express purpose, as Representative McCarthy from California let slip, for trying to lower Hillary's poll numbers. What thoughts you got on this, Joanne?
Well,
particularly to the media part of it.
I'm sorry?
Particularly to the media part of it.
Yeah, I think that's true to the extent that, I mean, there are plenty of wonderful journalists who are covering and have covered, I think, politics and elections since the time of Nixon Ford in very good ways. I think part of the problem in terms of criticizing the media, well, not problem, but is that we live in such a 24/7 cycle that you don't get as much in-depth coverage of anyone that you would really like to see. And it's hard to get a sense of what the coverage really is when you're bombarded with the same stories being run over and over again with the same clips and the same sound bites. And sometimes you do get the sense that, obviously not all the media, but some in the media are out to get ratings as opposed to actual coverage.
Well, Gene Lyons, who writes for the Arkansas Times, has covered the Clintons in Arkansas, and he points out that Whitewater and the other probes subsequently really found nothing, but still there's all this baggage that seems to come with the Clintons.
Right. And I think that was probably more driven by the conservatives and the Republican Party than by the media. It's very easy for the media to cover that sort of thing.
When somebody puts it in front of them?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think you've seen the same in terms of the conservatives on Capitol Hill making that same pledge or a similar pledge with President Obama, that they weren't going to let him accomplish anything. Certainly, we don't see the quote-unquote scandals like Whitewater and different things that we did with the Clintons. But, you know, similarly, you have charges against the president that then get repeated. And when things get repeated, whether they're true or not, sometimes we tend to think they're true.
Okay, final quick call from Vicki in Mount Shasta. Welcome to The Exchange.
Hi. You know, I think the thing that bothers me more than anything is that she's wrapping herself in the flag of Obama. And the whole message that we see from everyone around the country is that there's an anti-establishment movement. We learned that Obama turned out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, and this is because he is so controlled, as is everybody who arrives at that stage through the regular process. And to me, just stating, I would love to vote for a woman, but it's not going to be Hillary. I've lost confidence in people like Gloria Steinem, whom I've read for many, many years and supported, but I think she's lost that Nader edge. Not that I voted for Nader.
Okay, we need to give time for a response here. Thank you very much, Vicki. So establishment candidate is where we leave things off. Joanne, what do you think?
Right. I think the point that's really important there is you do see this movement with younger voters who really want anti-establishment. And although I guess my personal view would be that the most anti-establishment thing we could have would be finally to have a woman in the White House.
All right. The book is called Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. Joanne Bamberger is one of the authors and the editor of the whole project. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care.